to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defence, brought to you by the FNX Network and My Sports. I'm your host, Del. I'm joined by Yannickis. How you doing?
Not bad.
You good?
Yeah.
Good. You're happy this week?
I'm always happy.
Have you had a shave?
Yeah. Like it?
A little bit. Oh. Anyway, we're joined this evening by none other than Rodri Giggs. Rodri, welcome back, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, pal. Good.
Yeah, can't complain, mate. Can't complain. The weather's better in London than what it was last week, so...
It's been all right here, to be fair.
Yeah? Any sunbathing?
No, not that yet. Still cold weather, but, you know, the sun's out.
Yeah, we've got weirdos in London, mate. They're just many excuses to wear next to nothing. It's sad, really, but each their own, as they say. Anyway, so, this time last week, we started the show in somewhat of a sullen mood, didn't we? But thanks to the football sky genie or the weather... It's brought somewhat of a feel-good factor back to the show, hasn't it? You know, it's got nothing to do with Big Sam waving his magic wand that turned relegation candidates Crystal Palace into South London's answer to Barcelona circa 2011, who trounced Arsenal 3-0. It has zero to do with Man United putting another nail in Sunderland's Premier League coffin and giving them something, I don't know, something to think about, some payback for having a good laugh when Aguero won the title for City. In fact, even Liverpool's win at Stoke... coupled with Man City's annihilation of Hull, strengthening their grip on the imaginary Champions League qualification trophy, can dampen our spirits. No. Rodri, let's start with United at Sunderland, mate, because it turned out to be far more comfortable than we imagined. I mean, were you surprised with how Sunderland threw in the towel once they went a goal behind? I mean, they usually give United the run for their money at home.
Yeah, they do, but it's not a Sunderland team of old, is it? It's Mark Jermaine Defoe at the game and you win the game. Unfortunately, they're a struggling team, and a bit like us, really. If one player doesn't score, we don't get a result at the minute. So it's they're destined for relegation. You can see that as soon as the other man sent it off, like, they just seem to throw the towel in. And usually up there, it's a difficult game, but you know it's usually cold and wet. The sun was shining, they got an early goal, and then it was just an easy game in the end.
Absolutely. The thing is, mate, I honestly believe that Sunderland would have been relegated come January had it not been for Defoe and Pickford. I mean, Moyes has brought in players that he knows well from his time at Everton, but he isn't Marty McFly, and this isn't Back to the Future. So when I see Rodwell, Gibson, Oviedo, Pienaar, I mean, these aren't players that are going to keep you up, are they?
No, they're not. They're kind of rejects from their previous clubs going into Sunderland and Sunderland trying to get the best out of them to stay up, which is not going to happen. I mean, it was doomed from the beginning for me. Not the fact that Moyes went to Sunderland, but his statement at the start of the season. You know, we're in a relegation battle. Season hardly even started and he's already kind of predicting where Sunderland are going to finish. That doesn't bring confidence to the football club straight away. And on Sunday, they lacked first... I don't know, 20, 25 minutes. They tried their best to get around United and give them a hard time. As soon as the sending off came in, that was it, really. They was kind of, they thought, you know, we're not going to win today. We're destined to go down and kind of three in the towers, as Rodri said as well. So, the disappointing thing for Sunderland is if Defoe doesn't score, Sunderland don't score. It's a bit like Zlatan at United, really, to be fair. For me, but and as you said with Pickford, he's a fantastic young goalkeeper, and I don't think they'll keep him in the summer. Maybe somewhere like City.
Why would he want to stay?
Yeah, there's the loyalty, but I suppose that's not there in football anymore. And if they go down, would he want to play in the Championship? But
what does he owe them? But this is that's what I don't understand. I mean, fair enough, he went through the youth academy, but what does he owe them? I mean, he's played out of his skin this season, even when he made his debut last season.
Yeah,
played out of his skin.
I agree.
You know, it's 50% Pickford, 50% Jermaine Defoe, Sunderland. That's all it is. Yeah. I mean, he risked an Ichibi.
Yeah.
Who's half fit.
He even said it before at the interview. He asked him, is he fit? He goes, no, not really.
It just seems that he's
desperate.
He seems like he's making excuses before every game. I mean, he had it at United.
Yeah.
And then he had the nerve to turn around and say, oh, I wasn't given a chance at United. Suddenly he went to Spain because he thought that that's going to, like, I don't know, reinvigorate his career or rejuvenate something. And he failed miserably. I mean, even Chris Coleman had a better record at Sociedad.
Yeah.
And then he's come back to Sunderland. Make no mistake about it. I do not like David Moyes. Okay, I'm not keeping it a secret. I'm just saying it. I'm not going to be unfair to the guy. But what do club owners see when they bring in people like him? I mean, what has he actually done in his career as a manager to warrant any kind of move? I mean, take away the United thing, which obviously he's got on his CV, because I can say I had a really good job and I failed miserably. But you know, when I see him being offered new jobs, I like the Sunderland job, when he got the job, I was like, they're down already. The moment they approached him, that tells me that your ambition is gone. Rodri, what do you make of David Moyes? I mean, we slated him last week. Let's carry on with it this week.
Yeah, when listening to you there, you think to yourself, how on earth did he get the United job?
Yeah.
Because he's never done anything. He's never won anything. He's not particularly an offensive manager. So it's just a myth, really. These managers continue to get jobs and continue to get jobs because they've got experience in the Premier League or for whatever reason. And there's a lot of young, better coaches out there. Sometimes, yeah. I don't know, maybe he's got stale. I don't know, but David Moyes seems to me is like a very defensive manager.
Yeah.
So going into Sunderland, if you're going to be a defensive manager, you've got to have offensive players as well to score goals. You can't rely on one player, because otherwise, as we've seen, if he doesn't score, they don't win games.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. Things, it reminds me of when Harry Redknapp was at Portsmouth. He brought in players that he knew. And when he went to Spurs, he did the same thing. How many times has Crouch and Cranshaw gone with Harry Redknapp? But the thing is, you talk about Harry Redknapp that can motivate players. He can motivate a grapefruit. David Moyes turns players into grapefruit. He does.
It's true,
doesn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, he's brought in these players that he knows so well, like Oviedo, who's like the third choice Everton left back, and Gibson, and
you haven't seen him for about 3 years.
No, and then he brought Januzaj because he thought that he could make Januzaj half decent again, which he never was in the first place. And it's just
McNair at United.
I watch Sunderland. I see their highlights. I mean, I know they battered Crystal Palace a few weeks ago, but Palace were atrocious.
Hmm.
They were bad. They were really bad. Sunderland are down for me anyway. They've been down for months now. Yeah. They were down, like I said, when the moment that they approached David Moyes, they were down.
Think Jermaine Defoe stay?
No. He's still got another year in him, I'd say, at the top level.
Yeah, West Ham bound.
What does he want to do in the Championship anyway? I mean, he's going to be playing like 500 games, isn't he? So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone like West Ham might get him again.
Well, listen,
I think we've got to think about the World Cup. He could easily be playing in the World Cup in 2018.
Yeah.
Not the Championship. So it's a tough one for him as well.
Oh, I agree. Well, look, with Anderlecht coming up this week, it wasn't a huge surprise that Romero started in goal for United, but Mourinho said De Gea had a little problem, which got the rumour mill going, as it normally does. Now, do you think this little problem involves a team in Spain having a word with his agent?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going in the summer, to be honest. I think Mourinho's probably started to plan maybe with Romero or an understudy in the summer. I mean, personally, if De Gea goes, I'm a fan of Donnarumma at AC Milan. So if it's someone that I want to come in if they have goals, it's definitely him.
Mm-hmm.
As for this little problem, bit of a coincidence that he had a mare against Everton and all of a sudden he got dropped. So
yeah.
You can read into it. Maybe he's genuinely injured. But Mourinho did say after the game that he probably will be fit for Chelsea and he'll probably play. So maybe he's injured after all, but especially with the Real Madrid rumours again coming around, it's put one and one together and see what we get in it. Yeah. So see what happens.
Rodri, is he staying, Big Dave?
No, I don't think so. I think he'd be gone in the summer. I don't mind if he goes as long as we get something decent on the coming back the other way.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Who's a Modric that we discussed last week? Yeah. I wouldn't mind that, but just selling him. Be against that, but I definitely think he's going to some. I don't think there's anything in what with Romero playing on Saturday and then for the game on Thursday. I don't think there's anything in that. But
it'd be interesting to see what the fee would be if we did sell him. Because he just signed the contract before he left because of the famous fax machine, wasn't it? So the fact that he's got, was it another 4-year contract he signed?
He has, but the thing is, if the club, doesn't the rule state that if the club sells him without him asking for a transfer, they have to pay him a loyalty bonus or something like that?
He might have a buyout clause in his yeah. contract for a certain amount of money.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm not his biggest fan, to be honest, and I don't think it will be a massive loss if he leaves. Don't forget, a goalkeeper is as good as the back four he's got in front of him. If Mourinho can tighten things up even more, because let's be honest, we haven't been conceding that many goals, barring the Chelsea game, which we haven't really been conceding that many goals per game. So he's shoring it up. No pun intended.
Second best defence in the Premiership, yeah, behind Tottenham.
Exactly. And to be fair, the goalkeeper's been culpable for a few goals this season, to be fair. But again, listen, we say this week in, week out, we feel we got the right man, so just let him get on with it, really.
He'll get it right.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of getting it right, Liverpool claim that Jurgen Klopp is getting it right, and Sadio Mane, he's been ruled out for the season with a knee injury, although Liverpool didn't seem to miss him on Saturday, Rod.
No, they didn't. As soon as they made the change at half-time, they just changed the game. They were... They seem to play well together, don't they? So they've got this understanding that, like, a York and Cole used to have. So, and they're exciting to watch. They're great finishes, great goals.
Yeah, for me and Coutinho, they were outstanding, weren't they, when they came on?
Yeah, it's the pace they have and the movement. It's so quick and slick. It's hard to defend.
Absolutely. How highly did you rate them?
Oh, yeah, I'd take them at United every day of the week. But obviously that's not going to happen. But, yeah, you'd take both of them. You'd swap in with Fellaini. One of them with Fellaini and one of them, I don't know who.
Lingard.
No. Martial, take your pick.
Fellaini and...
Ooh. Herrera?
No, I like Herrera. He gets about the pitch, even though he screams and he does his little things. You need one of them people in the side. He gets about the pitch. He breaks play up, and he gets a goal now and again. Who would have swapped him? Well, you'd definitely bring both of them in though.
Mm, absolutely,
if you could. But obviously, that's not going to happen.
No. And mate, Spurs gave Watford a hiding that Matsari will never forget. I don't think he's ever been that badly, to be fair. This was a ruthless performance, wasn't it? No mercy whatsoever.
None at all. I keep saying about Tottenham, I'm a fan of their style and their manager and their players, and they're a dangerous side, Tottenham. I think, and again, we touched this last week, if Tottenham with a couple more additions could really, really be a strong contender. I mean, I know they're challenging for the title. I still think Chelsea somehow will win it this year. But maybe next year. I know the other teams are going to strengthen and get better, but so will Tottenham, I can imagine. And maybe with another centre forward and a few little signings here and there. But what's happening with Tottenham now? They were another team that relied on Kane so much, but not anymore. You know, players like Ali has stepped up. You know, Eriksen is getting a goal. Son, he's been fantastic, for Tottenham recently. And Janssen came on against Swansea and had that little flick to Son, which got them the 3 points. So he made an impact, even though he's not scoring goals. So the players are all performing. They're all stepping up. And Tottenham's home record is formidable as well. Yeah, so you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
And it's a tough place.
Fullbacks for Spurs are a big impact for them as well. They're always a big threat when Spurs play as well. Trippier was brilliant on Saturday.
Yeah. He gets the fullbacks right up the pitch, doesn't he? Straight above it. It's not, one goals and one stays. They're both out there, Yeah. They've got Rose and Walker especially. They're kind of attacked with six players.
The thing is, I'm not going to say anything bad about Spurs this season because they've been fantastic. You know, the table doesn't lie. The only thing is, and we're on a bit of dangerous territory here because we're saying, they're a couple of players short of winning the title or manning a serious charge. Well, they are manning a serious charge this season. I'm going to flip it. If you remember Arsenal last season, that was their best chance of winning the league, as far as I'm concerned. When they beat Leicester, they should have kicked on.
Yeah.
Spurs this season, I could be wrong, and this might come back and bite me in the arse, but this could be Spurs' best chance of winning a league. As stupid as it might sound, this could be their best chance of winning a league. Right? I know that obviously last season there was the capitulation, but they didn't have the mental toughness and they didn't have the experience. This season, it is there for Chelsea to lose. If Chelsea lose to United and Spurs win, you know, it's up for grabs again. Yeah. You know, Spurs have got to play Arsenal. I think they'll devour Arsenal. They'll give them a hiding. If Spurs beat Chelsea in the Cup, what does that do from a psychological standpoint? So this is what I'm saying. This could be Spurs' best chance of winning the title. Because as you said, next season, everyone else is going to improve. I'm not saying Spurs won't, but you damn sure know that United will. If Liverpool get in the Champions League, they will. Man City will. Mm-hmm. You know, Arsenal, I don't know, and I couldn't care less about them, to be fair, the way that's been going on. You know, they've got too much media coverage anyway. But, you know, if they make a change managerial-wise, or even if Wenger is given more money to spend, you just never know. You never know. I mean, Everton, they might even pose a threat next season. Might be an operative word.
They'll lose Lukaku, I think, now. So.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, but I'm just saying, hypothetically. I mean, hypothetically, Spurs could challenge it next season. Hypothetically, they can't.
Hmm. That's true. No, I've got along with that.
Yeah. Rodri, Chelsea made light work of Bournemouth, but I can't but think that it'll be a busy summer for them. I know Real Madrid are snooping around for Hazard, while Costa is allegedly happy at Chelsea, but not in London. So where does he want to go?
It's a difficult one, like I said before. I think Hazard will be gone in the summer, and I think Costa will be gone in the summer, so it'll be difficult. Chelsea, as long as they bring in who they recruit, do they bring in Lukaku back if Costa goes, which would be a good shout, but it'd be like you're just saying there, they're all going to be strengthening, so it'd be difficult for Chelsea next year if them two leave, because it looks like they're on the way.
They're not going to have it easy at all, as you said. If they lose those two players, you know, okay, again, Champions League plays a big part, because you're bringing these players, and Antonio Conte, if they win the title, he's going to have more money to spend. Abramovich is going to trust him more, but they've walked it this season so far.
They haven't had a blip, have they? I think from the start of the season, they lost to Liverpool at home, and was it Arsenal straight after? Yeah. I think they had two.
It was the Arsenal result that changed the season.
Really. And then they went, 11, 12 games they won in a row, maybe a draw here, and they've won. So they've not had the blip all season. While the others, of all, maybe apart from Tottenham, have been a little bit more consistent than the others. Everybody else has had a dip in form. I mean, you take United, 21 games unbeaten, and they've drawn 10. Says it all, really.
Listen, no European football makes a big difference. I don't care what anyone says, whether you're in the Champions League or the Europa League, it makes a difference. That extra game means more preparation, means more hours on the training pitch. Chelsea and Liverpool
fatigue, which brings injuries.
And Liverpool have had one game a week, you know, the odd cup game every now and again, maybe the odd replay. But apart from that, it's just been plain sailing for them. And let's be honest, apart from last season where they had a dreadful season where the players obviously down talked, They were the champions 2 years ago. So they had that nucleus there. They had a lot of championship winning players there. So it's not as if they just became rubbish overnight. It's just one of those things. So they've had it in them.
No,
I don't see why people didn't see them as favourites. I said at the beginning of the season, they're going to win the title.
Are you going to be right?
Well, let's see.
I'll tell you what's interesting about Chelsea and Real Madrid. Perez is up for election. And it's not a coincidence, again, that De Gea and Hazard are top of the list so that he can keep the presidency at Real Madrid. So there's always the politics over there and who they're going to get.
And he'll deliver.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll put them the money in.
Dele Alli as well, out of left field. They might even go for him, the way he carries on playing.
Possibly.
That's right. The only thing is, I think that they'll probably get Hazard for less than Dele Alli because of the age difference. I think that's the only thing, because Dele Alli, I mean, listen, and you're talking about Daniel Levy here, he'll sell you a bag of magic beans for £10 million. That's how good he is, you know. He's just something different. But no, I think Dele Alli will be a very good call. And to be fair, he'll settle in that Real Madrid the way that he's playing now.
Definitely. I like Dele. I won't mind him at United next year, but that'll cost an absolute family.
Imagine they got for, what was it, £5 million?
MK Dons leak.
5 million.
Leak one.
Can you imagine if MK Dons had a signing on, a sell-on clause in that as well?
That was a surprise if
that
was somewhere.
Really great Wimbledon, wouldn't it? That's kicking the balls. Right, we can't ignore last night's result at Selhurst Park. I mean, I can't help but think that if ever there was going to be a game that reflected the overall attitude of both sides, it was this. I mean, Palace were organised, spirited, physical. They won everything, every second ball, while Arsenal had nothing. Nada. Absolutely nothing. Gents, what are your views on first of all, Palace's performance and then Arsenal's? Because I think this can ramble on for a long time. Rod?
Yeah, he's got a good record against Fender for some reason, Allardyce. And he's obviously just said to him, get into the faces, and they won't want to know. And it just unfolded in that way. They were just I don't know if I can slag them off any more than I've already done. They're just weak, aren't they? Just soft-bellied, a load of babies, just no characters, just a lot of prima donnas, and he's not helping by just not making a decision. He should be coming out, saying what he's going to do, get the people who he needs to sign signed, instead of just prolonging it and prolonging it. You've got fights in the stadium, you've got these idiots out on fan TV. You know, I've just watched it. The one who's blad, all this blood. You know which one I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
Just embarrassing. It's funny though, but it's embarrassing. Yeah. For a club of that stature, because you know, it's a decent club. It's had good history, especially with us in the last 20 years. They've been our rivals, well, they were, but now they're a club that are content to be fourth.
Yeah,
I can't comprehend that, the size of Arsenal and the amount of money they're playing to the players.
Look at when Wenger took over. He had that back four with, you know, Dixon, Winterburn, Adams, Keown, and then obviously as time progressed, he had your Lawrence, your Coles, Keown,
Sol Campbell.
They were still solid. But then you look at that back line. I'm not talking about what's in front of them. That back line, what they've got now, it's Pampers. They're all wearing nappies, mate. I mean, Benteke
bullied Gabriel.
What's his name? Mustafi. Mustafi could have got sent off in the first 20 minutes, the challenges that he was putting in. They ran him ragged. You know, Bellerin just doesn't look
interesting.
You know, Monreal was the only one that tried, but he's not the same player as what he used to be. And those two central defenders, honestly, I mean, don't tell me that they miss Koscielny that much, that they played that bad. And then, to be fair, you know, everyone was slating Xhaka last night.
I don't think he was that bad yesterday.
Do you know what? He was the only player that was looking around when he wasn't on the ball. And when he was on the ball, he was looking for that pass. The only criticism I have is that he doesn't track back. That's the only criticism. But then you've got Elneny there that's meant to be doing that job. I think Elneny's a half-decent player. I'm not saying he's outstanding, but he does a job, you know. But then you see Ozil, and he's just not interested. Sanchez, like, huffing and puffing. And you could tell the bloke is getting frustrated. And regardless of what Arsenal say about him, how much he's a fantastic footballer and whatnot, that's not the kind of player that you want in terms of a mentality. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm just saying that kind of attitude, it rubs off on the other players. Danny Welbeck, where was he?
Was he playing?
Where was Danny Welbeck? Where was he?
He was non-existent yesterday. I'll tell you what the worrying thing is. Theo Walcott's your captain.
They didn't have a captain in the second half against Man City and they put him as captain. Why? Because he's the longest serving player.
Give it to someone with a bit of presence, someone who's going to bark a few orders.
Does he even do that? Who would do that in that team? Who does it in that team?
Nobody really, isn't it? There's not one player.
If you're going to give the captain's armband, at least give it to someone that's going to inspire you. Give it to Sanchez. Give it to him.
You could give it to Chet, but he's too far away to do anything.
He didn't play last night, he was injured. I mean, the fans after the game yesterday, they went to clap him and they just weren't interested, were they? They didn't want to know.
This is the thing. I was on Chris's show, like, you know, Chickstar, he's got his own Arsenal show, and I was on it the other day. We were talking about the top four, and I said, you know what? If you'd have said to me 4 or 5 years ago, it's wrong to boo your players, I'd have agreed. I'd have said, yeah, it's bang out of order. But nowadays, when you see footballers playing like that on the wages that they're on, do it. because how else are you going to vent your frustrations or feelings? You can't say it to him in the street when they're going shopping with their missus, you get arrested.
Yeah.
So this is
my... the difference in booing. The right to boo yesterday with Arsenal, but when you get people booing like at Fellaini, when he's trying his hardest, he's working hard. All right, he's not a Man United player, but that's not his fault. He's still working hard as possible. And you get dickhead fans in the crowd booing. That's wrong, but they've got the right to boo, especially when these players are massive, massive amounts of money, and these people, they're dear at Arsenal by all accounts, the season tickets, and they're coming week in, week out, and they're getting performance. How many times have they let three goals in? I mean, this is supposed to be a top tier club.
I think it's happened three games in a row away.
Haven't they won 3-12 or something silly like that since the turn of the year?
Two of them are Sutton and Leighton Orient, aren't they?
Sutton and Lincoln and West Ham, I think they've won.
Yeah, this calendar year, yeah. And we're in April. But see, this is what I'm saying. You know, as Rod said, someone like Fellaini, okay, fair enough, he's not a quality player, he's not a United player, but he puts in the effort. But when you look at the Arsenal team last night, 11 players could not be bothered. 11 players. It's not just one or two individuals. 11 players could not be bothered. And then the fans are getting slayed. You know what? In this case, I'm with them. I'm like, you know what? Good.
Are they doing a Leicester with Wenger?
Well, if they are, I think it's a disrespect because what he's done to the club, and he's brought these players in himself. You know, that's literally buying the hand that feeds you. But having said that, the board love him. What he's done for that club, they will never, you know, it's... It's not as if it's a Leicester City where they're going to get relegated, right? There's a risk of them dropping out of the top four. The only thing about this is that I would not be surprised if they give him a war chest and they say, right, you know what? You've only got a couple of years left if you sign this new contract. Get rid of whoever you want. We don't care. Just start from scratch. Start from scratch.
I'll tell you what frustrates me, and I don't know what Arsenal fans listening, you know, to this think about it, but Wenger, a manager under pressure, he's just still sitting there worried about his coat zipping it up.
But that could be a defensive mechanism, man. Come on.
Why doesn't he come out and bark a few orders? I'm sure the Arsenal fans would like that. Come out and go, oh, you, I don't know, a bit of leadership from the manager. We talk about the players, about the lack of leadership on the pitch.
Yeah, but he's never been like that, though.
Yeah, but he's under pressure now. Maybe before he could get away with his style and what he achieved and what he did, and Arsenal fans accepted that because they're a little bit more successful. They're not now. They're not playing the football that they used to. They're not getting the results that they used to. They're six in the league. When have you ever heard that about Arsenal, six in the league? Tottenham are above them, which we know how much that means to the rivalry between Arsenal and Tottenham. And a manager under pressure every week where the fans are screaming, Wenger out, you know, all, everything that goes on. Why does he need to come out and show a bit of passion? You know, a few fingers, a few things so that the fans can see and go, do you know what? At least he cares. At least he shows something.
You know,
even bold. Nothing.
I know, but on the flip side, this is their worst season under Wenger in 26 years. Yeah. This is their worst season. Is it 26 years? 21 years.
Yeah, but still, it's not getting better. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
No, I know. And he's got a lot to answer to.
It's at a point now where his legacy is going to be ruined if he doesn't make a decision and the right decision. Because manager... And he's just, if this was any other club in the Premier League, any other club, the manager would have been out.
Yeah.
Because Arsene Wenger's done what he's done at Arsenal, and that respect, and he earns some money, they've offered him another 2-year contract, and it's probably the wrong decision, but it all boils down to money at the end of the day, doesn't it, really?
It does. I mean,
why would you get rid of him?
We had that with Van Gaal, didn't we? Where we were playing rubbish football.
Yeah.
We were very negative, and the manager sat there for 90 minutes holding his flip chart or whatever he was holding, and he showed absolutely no desire, no passion. And us as United fans watching that, irked us. We didn't like it. And he wasn't as much pressure as what Wenger is at the moment. If Wenger came out, now for me as a fan, if I saw my manager who's under pressure and I'm slagging him off and he's coming and going, come on, give me something, show me something, I'd say, you know what? At least he's trying to get a reaction. At least he's trying to get something out of the players. He's not. He's just sitting there.
Okay, no, I hear that. However, at the beginning of the season,
yep.
Right, when United appointed Mourinho, I had a debate with a few Arsenal fans. And the majority of them said, I would never have Jose Mourinho at Arsenal. I would never have him.
That's because of the past and everything that's
happened. That's irrelevant. I'm like, put all of that to the side. They wouldn't have him because he's anti-football. He plays negative football. He does this and he does that and blah, blah, blah. He runs teams to the ground. But hang about, your manager is now doing exactly what you said that Mourinho did, running your team to the ground. Your manager is doing exactly what you thought Mourinho wouldn't, and that's fail. So who's in a better position now? Because this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm trying to understand from Arsenal fans. While I completely understand why they're upset and, you know, as you said, yeah, you know, because we would all be, you know, they're spending money now. So where's the excuse? It's the personnel that he's bringing in. But the only thing I have to say is that he's been there for 21 years. He's made them what he is now, right? I agree that, you know, that they should know exactly where his stance is. Is he going to leave at the end of the season? He's not. If he's going to leave at the end of the season, perhaps he's going to announce it at the end of the season when it's done, when the season's over. But just let him do what he's got to do and just get on with it.
I'm with Roger in this one. And we touched it. I think he should come out, or the board or the club or somebody, and say, Wenger, stay until the end of the season. Please give him your support until the end of the season for the, you know, for everything that he's done for the club. Back him, and then we'll review at the end of the season with a new manager.
Do you know what? I've got a little theory, and it's probably way off base, but I think that they're not saying anything deliberately because they want a different fan. And by that, I mean, if you got 400 or 500 fans that boo, that cause noise, that don't want Wenger, that do this, that do that, go against the board, and they decide to say, right, next season, we're not renewing our season tickets. They've got a waiting list as long as the M25.
Yeah.
They don't care. When they're getting these new fans that stay quiet and don't, you know, complain or, you know, sit on their hands, man, whatever. Mm. They can't lose, can they?
No, they can't.
So I think that's one of the reasons why they haven't come out, because they want these fans, they want the ones that are troublemakers in their eyes to say, right, I'm not coming anymore. Take your season ticket, I don't care. And they'll just say, okay, fair enough, I'll get Tarquin from around the corner that doesn't know any songs and you'll just sit here.
You'll just sit there and watch again.
You know what I mean? Mm. That's what I think. They want to change. They want to wean out the working class and put more, you know, silver spoon people in seats. That's my.
I don't think I've seen a more frustrated fan than I've seen in this season. Everywhere you go, everywhere you speak to, I think they're just so frustrated. It's unbelievable.
But we've been through that. We know it. Listen, Spurs fans. Look at Spurs fans. They have had it bad. Yeah. Spurs fans have had it bad. Bad. I mean, they almost got relegated like in the early 90s, didn't they? Yeah. In the mid 90s. They had to get Klinsmann back on loan. Spurs have had it bad. Chelsea had it bad. Chelsea were, what, a few days
away from Liverpool being... about winning a title for so many years.
Exactly.
Well,
it happens. Every team goes through it. What, you know, what makes them special?
I don't think...
What makes them above everyone else? What, these delusions of grandeur? What's going on?
I think it's the fact that they've become a laughing stock for so many years, especially with, you know, January, February, the wheels are coming off. Everyone knows it, and it happens every year. I just think the fact that it happens every year has just got to the Arsenal fans.
Okay, so what's made it different now?
Lack of success, lack of challenging for the title. At least you could say back in the day or a few years back, they were challenging Chelsea for the title, they were challenging United. Maybe they weren't winning as much as, well, they've only won 3 titles. But at least they were there, they're about challenging, they have better players. If you look at Arsenal's football team, how many world-class players? 1, 2, arguably, maybe, Ozil and Sanchez?
And they might be getting nervous now because the local rivals are a better team than them.
Exactly. Mm. So everything putting together, the most expensive season ticket as well. Imagine paying £1,500 and going watching El Neni and Coquelin in the middle of the park. Mm. I'm not going to want it. I'm not going to like it. And then being 6th as well in the league. I mean... Like you said, as United fans lately, after Fergie, we can understand that because we've been through that road as well. But they've had the same manager for 20 years. So for me, Arsenal definitely need a change.
Mm.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. And Big Sam, what can we say that hasn't already been said about it? I mean, you said it, called it the moment he walked in, even before they got the job. You know, he's going to change them. He's going to turn things around. He started off slow, but I'll tell you what, one win, possibly, and they're safe. 2 wins best.
What did he do that Mourinho does are so different? Mourinho selects the players and it's all over the papers. Didn't Allardyce do it 2 weeks back? He challenged the players' commitments and everything.
After Sunderland, wasn't
after it? Sunderland. But that was all right, wasn't it? Because it's Big Sam. But what reaction did he get after that? They've won 5 out of 6. Mm. The only game that they lost was last minute to Southampton, 2-1.
Beat Chelsea. Beat Arsenal.
So he got reaction. So by manager giving a few players a kick up the backside, what's wrong with that?
Mm.
It's like you can't say anything to footballers these days. It's like, you know, when Mourinho criticises Luke Shaw, well, you can't say that about Luke Shaw. Why can't he say that?
Mm.
If he's not performing, why can't he give him a rollicking or a public rollicking?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not just that. I just think he is getting the maximum out of these footballers. I mean, Sacco, well, you know, he was on his way out.
He was
immense. You know, Andros Townsend, who always had ability, but last night turned it on. Zaha. We finally saw the player that United spent £10 million on.
Yeah.
Benteke
even had a good game.
The central midfielder from Greece, the Serbian, he scored the penalty. He was fantastic. Kabay.
Can't say his name.
Johan Kabay, another player that, you know, was sold to Newcastle from Newcastle to Preston.
The right back had a brilliant game as well yesterday. He was brilliant. Didn't give Sanchez a sniff last night.
You know, they brought in Van Aanholt. He's injured. They put Jeffrey Schlupper left back, and he's been a revelation. Benteke, again, another player. Where, you know, we said it months ago. If you're going to spend £30 million on a proven goal scorer, when Benteke was at Villa, he was the man to get. And look at him now. He's just causing all sorts of trouble.
They've got a lot of pace, Palace, though, in their team as well, which they can always suck up pressure and hit teams on the counter. They've got like Townsend and Zaha that can always hit you on the break. So they'll stay up.
They conceded 5 against Swansea, and that was, what's his name's team? Bob Bradley's team.
Pardew, you know?
Palace. Yeah, they're still the same team. So let's go to our other news section, shall we? And Sheffield United, remember them? They returned to the Championship after a 6-year absence following their 2-1 win at Northampton on Saturday. Now, the result was rather fitting given Sheffield United manager Chris Wilder guided Northampton to promotion from League 2 last season. Now, they had a bit of a slow start to the season, Rod, but they've only lost 3 games since August and still on 88 points with 4 games to come. I mean, that's quite an incredible turnaround since last season's 11th place finish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great effort, especially being promoted with, what, 2-3 weeks left?
Mm-hmm.
You've always got a chance when you've got goal scorers in your side. Billy Sharp's always been a proven goal scorer. So, but it's like point justice, isn't it? These kind of scenarios always pop up in football, don't they? That he gets promoted and he beats Northampton to get promoted. It's, I don't know why these scenarios always turn up, but they do.
Yeah. And Billy Sharp, I mean, he's been a revelation this season. As you know, it shouldn't come as a surprise because he's always had goals in him. Yeah. But it's no coincidence his form dipped following the death of his newborn son in 2011. So credit to him for bouncing back, especially in this manner. I mean, he's absolutely emphatic. Now, 26 goals in 42 games at that level. Pretty impressive.
Absolutely. He's always scored goals at that level, though, Billy Sharp, wherever he's gone, to be fair. I think he had a good spell at Doncaster. He was at Leeds for a short while. He's always scored goals. And he's a captain at Sheffield United as well. So he's got that extra responsibility, and fair play to him, he's delivered. And I've seen Sheffield United a few times this season. They're a good side in that league, and if Sheffield Wednesday don't go up, it'll be a good derby to watch next season.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll be a good derby to watch. It's always kind of chaotic and frantic there, so it'll be interesting.
And you said the D word, derby.
Ah.
2 big games in Europe over the weekend were Bayern versus Dortmund, which is kind of a derby, isn't it? And the Madrid derby, obviously. Now, Bayern made light work of Dortmund, pumping them 4-1, while Griezmann's equaliser didn't damage Real's title chances as Barcelona suffered the 2-0 loss at Malaga.
Mm-hmm.
Great game that was. Dortmund made a few changes to the team in preparation for the Champions League game, which obviously didn't happen tonight because of the explosion, and we don't really know too much about it. I mean, apparently a bomb was found at the team's hotel, so let's hope these are just rumours, some idiots. But, you know, the result shouldn't be much of a surprise at the weekend. Having said that, they're fourth in the table. 9 points ahead of Freiburg and 1 behind Hoffenheim. Now, Champions League qualification for next season pretty much is a dead cert, even if they go fourth and go through the qualifier. So, they don't really have anything else to play for. So, do you think they're going to be focusing everything on the Champions League?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're in the final with Bayern in the German Cup as well.
Yeah.
So, they've got that as well, but that's a one-off game. Anything can happen in that. I've been disappointed in Dortmund this season, to be honest. For the money they've spent and the players they've brought in and all the expectancy at the club, to be where they are, miles away again from Bayern Munich, and it seems to happen nearly every year, at Dortmund there as well. And it's disappointing, especially the events that happened tonight as well, that could I don't know, psychologically can have an effect. But I think it's been rearranged for tomorrow to play Monaco. So I think over two legs they'll beat Monaco. Even though Monaco have been quite strong in the Champions League and have turned Man City over, I still think Dortmund will have enough to beat them. As for Saturday, Bayern made it look easy. Mm-hmm. You know, for a game of that magnitude in Germany and the rivalry between the two clubs as such, there wasn't one, was there? It was just too easy.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems whenever kind of Dortmund play Bayern, it's like they're all over. But even off the field, you know, whenever Bayern want one of Dortmund's players, is there you go, and they sell them on. How are they ever going to challenge Bayern for the title if they're always going to sell their best players to them? Don't make sense. But.
Rod, Pepe scored the opener in the derby before going off injured with broken ribs. Now, how big a loss is he at this stage of the season, mate?
Yeah, it'll be a massive, massive loss for him. How is he out for the rest of the season?
I think he's out for 3 or 4 weeks, but I'm not 100% sure, mate.
Yeah, it's a big loss for him, but, you know, it's Real Madrid here. They must have a big squad. They must have someone to put in next to Sergio Ramos, and with his experience and with the players he's got around him, I'm sure they'll be able to manage, or they should be able to manage with a team of the calibre of Real Madrid. So, yeah, it'll be tough, but you know, this is what it's all about now. The lead into the end of the season, tight, and you're going to get these type of injuries. So you're just going to have to adapt and just try and do the best you can.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, staying in Spain, Tony Adams has followed the successful footsteps of Chris Coleman, David Moyes and Gary Neville by taking charge of a club in Spain, namely Granada, albeit until the end of the season. Now, it's another questionable managerial appointment in La Liga, although when you do a bit of digging, you'll see it isn't really much of a surprise. Now, Tony Adams is, believe it or not, vice president of DDMC, a company owned by businessman John Jang, who happens to be the club's president. Now, interestingly enough, Adams has been working at the club since November, so at least he's got some knowledge about his surroundings. Now, Yanagi, Granada have lost 7 out of their last 10 games. They look absolutely doomed. I mean, how does appointing Adams as caretaker manager benefit the club, players, fans, or anyone else other than Tony Adams?
Doesn't only benefit. I mean, the players would probably look around the, you know, the dressing room and go, "Who? What? Yeah, why?" You know, it doesn't make sense at this stage of the season, unless they're planning with Adams next year in Spanish, you know, championship, so to speak. It's a weird one, especially after, you know, the events with Gary Neville and to appoint an Englishman at Granada. I don't see how that's going to work. But Adams has always been a football man. You know, he likes a bit of tactics. Oh, you know, good old Tony. So
we better say something else. He likes a bit of something else.
Can't say that on the show. But it's a strange appointment. It is definitely a weird one.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Okay, well, this leads us on to our bite back question of the week. And it's basically about this again. And I just want to say, when you see the list of jobless Spanish managers that are available to work, it makes Paul Merson's whinge about British clubs appointing a foreign manager look even more embarrassing, doesn't it? I mean, you look at Carranca, Ayerstan, Marcelinho, Juan de Ramos, he's about to name a few. They're all ready for work. Now, more and more managers these days are being appointed on the back of their off-field business arrangements with club owners. So the question this week is, should these conflict of interest be outlawed? And if so, why? Go, Rod.
I don't think you'd be able to. You can outlaw it because you get these billionaire now owners who just want to do what they want. So, and no one's going to tell them otherwise. It's always going to be difficult when there's so much money involved. Who's going to tell these players or these owners that you can't do this or you can't do that? I just don't think it's going to happen. Obviously, with Tony Adams' situation, they must spend that much time together, and he talks about football and he must just brainwash him with tactics, and he must know a bit, and he ends up getting the job. You see it time and time again. It never works, but he's, like Dan was saying, he's a football man, Tony Adams. So, how many Googled him? How many players do you think Googled him when they announced
him? Oh, wow. That's a good question. I mean, surely they must know who he is. I mean, captain of Arsenal.
Was he at the club? I think you mentioned he was at Spurs, so they probably know who he is anyway.
Yeah, I think he was coaching in the background, doing something with the. Yeah, I think it was doing something with the second team or something. I don't know, but.
Right, I know it's out of left field, but he was one of the top centre-halves of Premier League football.
So Alex Ferguson's biggest...
Well, it's never worked out wherever he's been. Where's he managed? He managed, like, Iraq or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah, Azerbaijan. Was he at Portsmouth or one?
Portsmouth, yeah.
It's never worked out, really, has it, though? So it's just, like you say, it's a strange one. Really strange. When they need to win, how many games left? Five or six,
I think, left in Spain, yeah.
With a proven record, it's not very great. It doesn't look good, does it?
No, not at all. Not at all. And we've had some comments. I mean, Travis, he says they shouldn't be allowed because they keep leading to appointments that are totally unsuitable for the club. It also undermines the manager from day one, making his job so much harder. I agree with him. When I heard about Tony Adams being appointed, the first thing I thought was, why? What link does he have? But as I said, when you delve into it a bit deeper and you find out the relationship that he has with the club owner, if you're a fan, I know that they're going to get relegated, but if you're a fan and you're looking at the way that the club is being run, it's almost as if your club is just a plaything. Chelsea brought in Avram Grant. Obviously, he's mates with Abramovich, right? Do you remember when Ziyech joined Portsmouth?
Yep.
From Panathinaikos.
That's right.
His best mates with Mandarich.
Yep.
Right? Obviously, you've got that bloke, that Salford, that was at Valencia, and he failed miserably. And then it just the list goes on and on and on. I mean, it's almost as if it's not it's who you know. Dean Saunders. Yeah. Dean Saunders was coach at Chesterfield at one point, wasn't he?
Yep.
And I think because his agent knows the chairman, their best mates or something. I don't know. It's just weird.
The connect, yeah.
That's when
it doesn't benefit the football club, does it?
That's when you get the disconnect with the fans.
Yeah.
Because the fans are sitting there thinking, well, what's all this about?
Yeah.
It goes back to Wenger. Well, Wenger's practically appointed most of that bloody board. So no wonder he's not getting sacked. So again, it's the conflict of interest. I mean, we had some other people making comments. I think, let me just find them because I've been a bit unprepared. You talk, go on.
Right, about the situation.
Yeah, go on. Give us your expert opinion. I'm trying to buy some time here. Come on.
Well, my opinion is that I like to know who makes these kind of decisions and what kind of interest or what they know about football, to be honest, because it doesn't make sense. Sometimes you look at, I mean, this might sound really silly and it's probably a different scenario, but Birmingham with Zola. And I had this rant about you know, Gary Rowett and the job that he was doing at Birmingham at the time. And because Zola was available, they sacked the manager who was in the playoff places to get Zola, and look where they are now. So, you know, we had this debate about, you know, I said Zola won't last until Christmas. Oh, he'd be lucky to last until the end of the season, that way that they're going. They've got Rotherham, I think, this week. So if they lose, I think he's destined. Yeah. But, do you understand what I mean about owners and decisions that they make? They're probably thinking, oh, yeah, Zola is available. Let's suck a manager that's doing really well and get him in and try our luck.
The lead situation, how many managers have they had?
That's correct. Right. There you go.
If you'd be given the job, unless you have I don't know, 70-65% win ratio, you're getting a sack.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes it takes time. So, obviously, Gary Monk's gone in and he's hit the ground running, so he's been a bit lucky. But all the others, they had a bad run, bummed it down the road, and there's no consistency there. So you get these it's a struggle, isn't it?
I mean, back to what you said, Rodri, about Gary Monk. I think he didn't start great at Leeds, 3 or 4 defeats. And he was, you know, they were talking about sacking him about a month after they just appointed him. Really?
Yeah, but I think the chairman must have run out of money paying out these managers.
It's not going to go. Yeah, I might as well keep it.
But you've got an exception to the rule because this owner, Chiellino, he's a nutcase. Yeah. You know, he wanted to remove a certain number from the seats because apparently there's an unlucky number in Italy or something. So he didn't want that number seated. I think that was Paddy Kenny's goalkeeping number as well. Don't need to wear that because it's unlucky. Bonkers, mate. You know, you got Pete in Australia. He says, moving executives around within a business group. What's the problem? It's football.
It's football, yeah.
It's football.
Okay, reverse question.
These owners not treating like football, they're treating like a business, they're treating like a little bit of a play toy. They don't really care. It's just something to do for them. It's the in thing for them to do. So they do it and they make these decisions that are not footballing decisions. A football man, you look at a decision and go, oh, how's he made that decision? Yeah. They've made it themselves.
Yeah. I mean, there's two things about this that I've got a theory of. Well, not a theory, but what I think. If Adams goes there and for a miracle, Granada stay up, what would we say? Genius. You know, appointment or whatever else. Or the Leicester situation. What did we all say when Ranieri got sacked? Or most of us. How can they sack a guy that Leicester won the league title, the players are snakes and Shakespeare's this. But they've proven to be right by appointing Shakespeare because they're going to stay up. No, of course they're going to stay up. And the players have had a new kind of lease of life with their new manager.
Danny Simpson's got his sweet potato. He's got his fries back. He's not having sweet potatoes now, so he's happy. So the rest of the team is happy.
That's what I mean. So it can go for you or it can go against you. So it just...
I was against that decision. I was against that decision when it happened.
Yeah, so was I.
Like you say, it was the right decision. So
yeah, exactly. So how can
It still leaves a bit of taste in your mouth, and something's underlining that's happened there that we don't know about, but we'll never know about. It still doesn't sit right with you, does it?
He showed what a man Ranieri was at Monday Night Football yesterday, and he didn't want to slate the players. He was like, he knows what's happening, but he's not going to expose it. And
he's seen it all before. Yeah. He's an Italian manager. He's managed everywhere in Italy. Like, come on, if you're going to learn anything from there, I don't know. Anyway. Well, look, let's go on to a different subject here, because there's something that happened at the beginning of, in fact, the end of last week's show. I found out about this, so I kind of regret not talking about it. But the US women's national team beat Russia 4-0 in a friendly on Thursday. But it was their preparation for the game that made the headlines, as 3 days prior, they lost 5-2 against FC Dallas's under-15 men's. Now, gents, granted, there was a friendly, so the main focus was obviously on fitness and tactics or whatnot, experimentation, whatever you want to call it. But we can't ignore the fact that this is the world champions. They lost an under-15 men's team. It's a little embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But do we know what team they put out? Did they take it seriously?
Well, Carly Lloyd played, and she's got 236 caps.
I don't know, maybe they didn't show as much desire or interest in the game, thinking they're going to turn up and win. Maybe attitude was wrong. I don't know, maybe they'll try different kind of tactics or different kind of players. We don't know what kind of players they play, but if it is kind of the first team, and it is very embarrassing to lose an under-15 team.
Rod, women's side.
The women's national team, the USA women's national team, the team that won the World Cup last year, they played an under-15 boys team, men's team, and they lost 5-2.
It's like the old saying, isn't it? Men against boys or women against men, isn't it? If you've ever played football and you played friendlies and you've got a big game coming up, it's 50%, 40%. And the other team, it's like their cup final if you're playing a big side. So there are no-win situations, them kind of games. So you can't read really too much into kind of friendlies. Or even though, they're under-15s, it's quite embarrassing. But you can't read too much into these friendlies, because they're a waste of time. Unless they're for pre-season. In-season friendlies, internationals, they're just an absolute waste of time.
He's got his diplomatic hat on today. Well done.
What was that? Men and boys with women and men.
Yeah. While clubs in Spain make bargain bin managerial appointments, Fluminense de Feira in Brazil have come up with an innovative way of generating more sponsorship money, and that's collaborating with a local supermarket chain. It's not Happy Shop or anything like that. Don't worry about that. On the back of each player's shirt is a special store offer, and they use the squad number as the price. Now, they've even replaced the player's name on the back with a product name. Can you think of a product that suits a player and keep it clean? I'll give you some of my ones. They're a bit cringy.
Fellaini microphone. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can say that. Microphone, I guess. I was going to say, like, I don't know, Pedri Chum for Alexis Sanchez because he loves his dogs.
John Terry, skunk.
What's that?
John Terry.
Skunk? How about a flare gun or like a fluorescent jacket or even a GPS device for Ozil because he goes missing on them? Mouthwash for Ashley Young?
Mouthguard
for...
The spit in his mouth, but it looked like a bird pooed in his mouth, wasn't it?
It was a bird, yeah. It was just flying over and just dropped one on him.
Great. You don't see many birds over Old Trafford.
Well, that mouthguard for Ross Barkley, he got a bit of a...
Yeah, it was a coward's trick, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On the side. Definitely caught him off guard. It was funny, though.
How about a first aid kit or duty-free cigarettes for Jack Wilshere?
He's done all right this year. He's done all right.
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen with him next year?
Yeah, he'll be Arsenal this season.
Do you think he'll go back to Arsenal?
Yeah, I think they'll recall him, yeah. I think so, yeah.
Would you want to go back after what's going on? He probably thinks, well, I'm glad I'm at Bournemouth this season, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay, what about this one? This is the cringe one. Comfort fabric conditioner for Lucas Fabianski. He's conceded 67 goals. He needs to keep his sheets clean. Droons.
I like the Ravanelli.
You like the Ravanelli one, just for men?
Yeah, because I could do it. I know.
Oh, right. I could think of a few more, actually. Washing line for Wayne Rooney, hung out to dry.
Ooh.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. So, yeah. And my mate came out with one the other day. Watertight sealant. He's a Spurs fan. They're back four. Least goals conceded. Got to give it to him. Yeah, I mean, there's a few more we can say, but I think for legal reasons we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Some will involve Joey Barton some way. But yeah, anyway. And that's it for our show this evening, gents. I'm not sure how long this went for, but I think everyone's still alive and awake. So thanks, Rodri, for coming back on again, mate. I hope to have you back on again next week.
Anytime, pal. Like I said, anytime.
Thank you very much. Twitter handle, mate?
Rod James Giggs.
Bang. Yours?
Yannickis J. Forgot about that.
Okay. Well, do us a favour, guys. Follow our friend Slick Sport at Slick Sport Limited. She has a client who happens to be a boxer, Daryl Williams. He fights on the 22nd of April for the English Super Middleweight title. I promised I'd get that in and I just did. See? I do people favours. Follow the guys at Sofa Sports News. Follow our friends over at the FNX Network at FNX Network. Our friends My Sportswear at My Sportswear One. I'm trying to think of what else I need to say. We've got a Facebook group page. Go on that, because I like winding people up on it, especially when it comes to the hair jokes.
Do you wind people up? I never thought of that, to be honest.
It's not me.
No.
Never do such a thing like that. Anyway, that's it, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next Monday, I think, because Tuesday night I'm going out.